And hopefully we'll finish the chapter today and be encouraged from this chapter in the book of Hebrews. Just by way of review, I want to read just a few key verses in this chapter, starting with verse 1 and 2. As these will be familiar verses to you who have been with us during this slow walk through this chapter. Now, faith is the assurance or the confidence of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. By it, men of old gained approval. By faith, they gained approval. By faith in what God had revealed to them. And then in verse 6, notice this one. This is another key verse, and it's key for the whole of history, the whole of future. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And then verse 13, talking about the Old Testament saints here, and especially those that were in the first 12 verses, but all of the Old Testament saints, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them, that is the promises, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And then verse 16, but as it is, they desire, that's the Old Testament saints, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And then verse 27. This is talking about Moses, verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. He saw God by faith, and he believed him. So he left without fearing the king's wrath. He feared God instead. Okay, we want to move on here, but the writer of Hebrews in this section is assuming that his readers knew the Old Testament well. Well, I'm talking about this last section because he doesn't say much about the people. In fact, sometimes he just talks about what happened to them. Word glimpses. And he expects his readers to know what he's talking about. And they, being Jews, having come from Judaism background, they would, right?
Right.
And we especially notice that in this last section of the faith chapter, where there is either names or what happened, or simply just a mention of what happened, with the expectation that we know what or who is being referred to. And you know what? If you read regularly through the scriptures, Old and New Testament, especially yearly, a lot of this will jump out at you as you read this. And there you have a good, one of many good reasons why you should read through the Bible often, if not yearly. As you read these New Testament scriptures and they refer to the Old Testament, you'll know what they're referring to. Please stand with me and let's read the last verses 29 through the last verse 40 of this chapter. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts, mountains, and caves, and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made complete. May God add blessing to the public reading of his word. You may be seated. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we're entering into a wonderful part of your word, and I pray that as we look into it just a little bit today, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would see your glory just a bit clearer, and we would understand your plans just a bit more, and that we would enter into what you have for us these days as we seek to live by faith. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Let me first of all say that this is referring to Exodus 14. So if you want to see the details, that's the chapter to look at. And I would encourage you to do that. There was a mighty hand of God displayed here in this chapter, chapter 14 of Exodus. And yes, the Lord, through Moses, did tell the fearful Israelites, and they were fearful because they saw Pharaoh's army, the chariots and the horsemen coming. And God prevented them from reaching the Israelites because of the cloud. He came between. And look at what God told Moses to tell the people. I'm going to quote from Exodus 14 now. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. They believed what God said through Moses, and by faith they crossed the Red Sea in complete safety. They crossed by faith. I read one commentator say that Pharaoh and his army presumed that they could get across too. They probably thought, well, if Israel can get through, we can too. They presumed. Israel crossed by faith. They believed what God spoke to them through Moses. But by presumption, Pharaoh entered in to the sea on dry land. But unfortunately, their presumption cost them dearly, didn't it? They were all drowned. All drowned. And God said, you won't see him again. They were all dead. The Israelites never saw Pharaoh or any of his men again. Those men anyway. Verse 30 through 31. By faith, the walls of... These two are both about Jericho. But one's about the walls and one's about Rahab. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. This was the first city that God instructed through Joshua the Israelites to conquer. It was the first one. And it was a walled city. Verse 30 about the conquering of that city is found in Joshua chapter 6. So if you want to refer to that and read on your own later, I would encourage you to do that. God told them what to do, and they believed God. He also told them how to do it. They were to do certain amount of circling once a day, and then on the seventh day, seven times. And then they were to shout, and the ram's horns were to be blown, and God did the rest, didn't he? The walls went down. However, there was a section of the wall that did not go down. And the next verse talks about that. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Now let's talk about Rahab just a little bit. This is found in Joshua chapter 2, if you want to read the details of that, where the spies went and what Rahab did and the promise that was made to Rahab because she believed that God was the one behind Israel's victory by their redemption from Egypt through the wilderness 40 years. She'd heard all about this, and she believed God. So it tells us there that she hid the spies, and it was at her peril. I mean, she could have been killed for that, right? It was at her peril. She believed that the God of Israel was the true God, and she was willing to risk her life to hide them. She believed, and she was saved. She and all her family who stayed in her house, this was the agreement with the spies, and her house was on the wall. So if the wall had collapsed, she would, and all that were in there would have been dead, right? She stayed in her house, and all who were in her house were preserved. Only that section of the wall did not collapse. Verse 32, look at what he says. And what shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms and so forth. We'll look at the rest of that. Basically what he's saying here is, I could fill up a whole lot of pages in time. And I think the reason he isn't is because you get the idea. You've already got it. So I don't need to bore you with more details. It's just more of God's hand for people of faith. So he's saying there's too many more faith stories and faith people to tell. There are many names that conjure up mental images for those of the original readers of this book, Hebrews, to whom all that he's referring to would be familiar. And for those of us who read regularly through the scriptures, some of these, probably not as near as much as it would have been for the original readers, but some of these stand out too. And he mentions Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. These were all judges. Not all of the judges, but these four were judges. Old Testament judges. You'll find them in the book of Judges. And then he mentions David as an example of kings, and he mentions Samuel as an example of the prophets. Now, there were a lot more prophets, but just mentioned Samuel, who was probably the first of the main prophets. Many faith stories to tell if there was space and time. Remember what it says in Hebrews 6, and without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So he said there's too many people who were men of faith and women of faith. That I can't mention them all. It's just too many. So let's look at verses 33 and 34. Who by faith, these people, who by faith conquered kingdoms. Some of them conquered kingdoms. Some performed acts of righteousness. Some obtained promises, shut mouths of lions. Now let's go back and take a look at just a couple of those. Especially when you read about conquered kingdoms, I think of David. He was the king of Israel who conquered a vast area and left it for Solomon. And it was an area that was peaceful for most of Solomon's reign, because he definitely defeated all the kings all the way to the Euphrates River. Gideon's mentioned, and some of the other judges, they performed acts of righteousness. Again, David, I think of Solomon and Samuel, and there's many others who performed acts of righteousness. Obtained promises like the patriarchs. I think again of David. Didn't he receive promise? An enduring kingdom and a son. It mentions shut the mouths of lions. Now, there was more than one that actually closed them. David himself was one who shut the lion's mouths, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said a couple times when, as a boy, as a shepherd, probably a teenager, was taking care of sheep. Said a lion and a bear came and took sheep. He grabbed the lion by the beard and he smote him. How many of you would do that? David was a man of faith. And he acknowledges that it was God. Same thing when he went against Goliath. Wasn't that true? He said, you have mocked the God of Israel. And so I come to you in his name and he will fight against you. I'm out of my place. It mentions quench the power of fire. Does that bring up a mental picture to you? Mm-hmm. Who?
Well, you want their Hebrew names?
Let's give them the most recorded name is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel's three friends. And you remember that after Nebuchadnezzar had this vision or dream in the night, and Daniel told him the dream and interpreted it for him, that he built this huge statue that was like the one in his dream. Can you imagine how he felt, how proud he felt, because he found in Turkish dream that he was the head and the shoulders. He was the exalted one. And I don't know what he had in mind for the worship of this huge image that he had up, but Daniel's three friends said, let me quote what they said to the king when he had all of the leaders of the people out there and told them to fall down and worship. Let me see if I can find it here. This is what they said to Nebuchadnezzar after he had commanded them to fall down and worship. Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, isn't that people must believe that God is and that he's for those who seek him. They said, if God exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. They were going to honor God only with their worship. They were willing to go into the blazing smelting furnace, right?
Yep.
Did they?
Yep.
Yep. God didn't rescue them from this one, but he rescued them in the situation, didn't he? Some also by faith escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put armies to flight, and we could add names to those too. And you maybe have thought of some as we were reading those situations. Let's move on. Verse 35 through 38. Women receive back their dead by resurrection. Notice that it changes here. The first part sounded like it was almost all positive. By faith, God did wonderful things for them, and they had victory over all these circumstances, horrible circumstances that could have happened. But now, we find out that God didn't do that for all the Old Testament saints, men of faith. He didn't. Probably a majority of them are included in these last verses after the women receive back their dead by resurrection. It says, the last part of that verse and on, and others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, they probably could have been released if they had denied their faith in God. And they chose to be tortured rather than be released from it, because their faith was in God, who, like the three Hebrew boys, Daniel's friends, said, even if God doesn't rescue us, we're not going to worship you or your image. So we see that it's not all roses for those men of faith. When I get done here, I'm going to ask you to think about New Testament saints. And is it any different? First century Christians. A lot of them were tortured. A lot of them gave their lives, right? How about the second century? The third century? How about today? So God doesn't rescue all his children, does he? Some of them he lets suffer, and they bring glory to God through their enduring faith. I just gave away one of my points that I wanted to make later, but that's okay. It's okay. So we see here, others experience mockings and scourgings, this verse 36. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Can you imagine? Sawn in two while they were alive. At least for part of it, they were alive. Sawn in two. By the way, tradition says that that's what happened. And apparently it's pretty reliable tradition that Isaiah was sawn in two. Yeah, Isaiah, the one who wrote Isaiah 52 and 53 and some of those other great chapters about Christ. He gave his life in torture for his faith in the God he wrote about. Where was that again? Verse 37, they were stawn in two, they were tempted again, like in that earlier verse where you could be released if you deny your God. That kind of thing is still going on today. You think about in Muslim countries, if they deny Christ and say they believe in Allah, they won't have to die. Still going on today. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins. By the way, the last Old Testament saint that I can think of that was put to death by the sword was who? John the Baptist. He died before Christ went to the cross and rose. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men. By the way, this is God's comment here about them. Remember, this is inspired scripture here. Men of whom the world was not worthy. Now, the world, on the other hand, probably looked at them as misfits, strange people, unworthy of basic human kindness or human dignity. But God said, these are men of whom the world is not worthy of. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. All these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Now that phrase has occurred at least three times in this chapter. They live by faith. Many of them died because of their faith, or they died having seen with the eye of faith, but not having received the promise. Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises, or was told the promises, was offering up his only begotten son, the one who the promises were to be passed through. And look at, I can't find it right now. Anyway, it's repeated. They died without receiving the promise. What promise? The promise of the Messiah. The promise of a substitute for their sins. And we're on the other side of the cross, aren't we? We have received the promise. So look what he says here. They did not receive what was promised because God had provided something better for us so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. After Christ died, their promise was fulfilled, but ours too, wasn't it? Now, what I believe the writer of the Hebrews is basically saying here to his readers, the Jew, the primary readers, but to us too, these Jewish believers were having difficulty clinging to God's promises through Christ. And he's saying, look at your Old Testament saints. They did not receive the promise. They're not looking back and saying, yes, Christ died. Yes, he rose from the grave. Yes, he is the Savior, and my redemption is totally paid for. Done. These guys, it hadn't been done yet. So they were looking forward, but we can look back in history and say it's done. So he's saying, you see their faith. You have much more because it's a done deal. And actually, this was people who probably, if they hadn't been in Jerusalem, they at least heard about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And it was preached to them. So they had heard it from whoever preached the gospel to them. This was historical fact. The Old Testament saints saw it by faith. They knew it by fact, historical fact. So, if they can endure all of this, it should be easier for us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us too. We have the completed Word of God. Those Old Testament saints. Abraham didn't have any scripture, did he? Did he? Just what God said to him, and we don't even know how God revealed it to him that he did. Okay, let me finish because our time is up. I wanted to share with you what David Guzik said, and I paraphrase what he said a little bit, but basically it's what he said on verse 39 and 40. Listen to what he said. Even though they obtained a good testimony through faith, they never saw the promise in the same way that we do on this side of the cross. In other words, they did not receive the promise, the testimony of the completed work of the Messiah on their behalf. Also, God providing something better for us, we have been provided something better. We can see and enjoy the completed work of Jesus on our behalf, so that we have much more reason to cling to faith in God's promises and not to let discouragement and tough times defeat us. They should, and quoting again, they should not be made perfect apart from us. That's quoting from verse 40 there. The idea of perfect is complete. They could not be made complete until the work of Jesus as the perfect substitutionary sacrifice for sin was complete. They looked forward to the Messiah and his substitutionary work. We look at the completed work of Christ, and we enjoy many of the fruits of his work already. So again, the New Testament Jews, as well as us, have so much more reason to endure hardship, trouble, persecution, even torture, and death than those Old Testament saints. We are encouraged to press on in faith in the next chapter. That's what it's about. We're encouraged to press on in faith because he who went before us to the cross and rose and ascended to heaven, our Redeemer, our high priest and our mediator, is faithful. He's always faithful. We just sang today, great is thy faithfulness. God's faithful. Follow him with endurance no matter what the circumstances we face. That's chapter 11. That's the message of chapter 11. Let me give you some verses if you want to write down and read later. Let me give you some verses to look at in light of these last two verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Well, the whole chapter, but especially the last two verses. Hebrews 5:9 Hebrews chapter 7, 19 and 22, verses 19 and 22 of chapter 7. Chapter 8 of Hebrews, verse 6. Chapter 9 of Hebrews, verses 8 through 15. And also verses 23 through 26 of chapter 9. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. And for something to look ahead, you can look at Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. And then we mentioned a couple of times Romans chapter 3, verses 25 and 26 again. I would encourage you to look at those in light of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. All right, Matt and Jerry, you want to lead us in the closing?
You bet. Thanks, Chuck.